What a cool way to start the service. We're going to be preaching on next generation today. So just so that you are aware, today is, come on, can we give it up for our next generation? Come on. God is doing amazing things through our kids. And so what's so fitting is that dedicating our children is actually almost saying, like, you know, Psalms 127 says that our children are a heritage from him. They come from him, but one day they'll return to him. And so as parents, we have this privilege, this amazing privilege of raising God's kids. And so we got to raise them in godly manners and godly ways. And so I just want to let you know, so that's what we're doing today. It's a standalone Sunday, but you don't want to miss next week. Next week, we're launching our new series called The Peacemakers, and it's going to be talking about how we deal with conflict. It's a four-week series. It kicks off next week. Why don't you come grab a friend, come join us. It is going to be amazing. Not to forget that we've also got baptism coming up on the 21st of April. If you want to be baptized, 21st of April, you can get registered either online or you can head over to our Next Step area and somebody will help you get connected to your baptism next step. And the title this morning is called The Next Generation for Jesus. Come on, if you believe that, say amen. Come on, I'll tell you why I believe that is because I'm a firm believer that the best days are still ahead of us, not behind us, that the best generation is still to come. And our next generation, God is going to work powerfully through. He's going to bring revival through our next generation. I also believe that that raising kids in this time is not easy. And so you as parents, I'm going to ask you to lean in today because this message is for you, but it's also for our next generation. So if you're sitting here today, this message is for you. I've got three kids. I've got a burning passion for this topic, mainly because my kids are like 12, 13, and 16. So my kids are in an era that I know that they are so influenced by everything around the world. And so I want nothing more. I have this passion, this burning desire to actually not just raise good kids, but godly kids. Hey, what about you? Do you want to raise good kids or godly kids in this generation? Well, I want to let you know the eternity, there's a difference to the eternity when you raise godly kids. And so we believe for our next generation here at View Church, and one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life is be a parent. I don't know about you, but parenting's not for sissies, okay? Parenting, it doesn't come with a manual. It comes with a lot of advice and opinions just before you. Everyone's like, when your child's got a sore earache, rub toothpaste on their left eye, and then they will. And I'm like, it comes with weird superstition kind of like stuff. I want to let you know that parenting can be hard. For me, it's one of the hardest things because nobody prepares you for what is to come and still continue. And so parenting can be hard. I've got three kids, three beautiful kids that God has blessed us with. I love them, two boys and a girl. Hear this, and maybe a tip for you. They are all born in May. It's how Germans do it. Okay, we plan these things, okay? We get our kids aligned, all born in May. So May month is birthday month. Get it out the way. Hey, May, get it out the way. But if you work back how children work and how they're made, which I'm not going to elaborate on that today because I'm sure you've all been to school, you'd probably work back about 9 months earlier that they were all conceived in August. It's that long weekend, Women's Day. Come on. So I want to tell you that, my wife, we actually have a practical joke. The best Women's Day gift I've ever given her is kids. And so we love our kids and we are absolutely on fire. And yes, if you want to have a May baby, August is that month. Long weekend camping. Come to church though. Parenting can be difficult, and I know it can be, and we want to raise godly kids, not good kids. And so you may be sitting here today and going, but I'm not a parent. I don't have a child. I'm not considering having children, or maybe my children have grown up and they're not children anymore. So maybe this is the message I'm going to tune out of. I'm going to ask you to do the reverse and tune into this message, because each one of us sitting here today plays a part in our generation and our next generation. Each one is here on purpose today, and we can all activate and get passionate for what God wants to do in our next generation. Because I really believe that if you're a natural parent, a spiritual parent, an uncle, an auntie, a mentor, a teacher, a coach, you play a part. You play a part in what God wants to do, and God wants us not to fight with the next generation, but to fight for the next generation. And so I really believe that if you believe that, look to your neighbor next to you and say, that's a true story. God wants us to fight for the next generation. True story. So let's get into the word. I want to read a true story from the word of God. It's actually out of the book of Judges, chapter 2. If you want to follow, go ahead and make your way on your iPhones, your iPads. You can, if you don't have those, you can use your eyelids. It'll be up on the screen. And that joke never gets old. But let's follow it. You see, this context to this piece of scripture, it's a recount of what happened at the end of Joshua's generation. So Joshua 24, it actually says this: for him in the household, he will serve the Lord. But it says, after him and the elders died out, Israel stopped serving God. And so that whole generation was lost. And so we're going to read about that today. You see, the context is that the children of Israel had been freed from Egypt. Okay? So they'd been freed by God through Egypt, walked through a miracle by parting of the seas. And as they part the seas, they spend their next 40 years in the desert, where God provides miracle upon miracle. It's only God that could have performed these miracles. But once they actually walk into the promised land that God provided for them, he continues to provide miracles for them. But it actually says that the generation got older and then they settled down. And that's where we pick up our scripture today. Judges 2:10. You can read with me. After the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors. Stop there for a second. So maybe sometimes Bible scholars, we just like to explain. That actually means they died. Okay, so when they had all been gathered up to their ancestors. So what it means is, when the whole generation had passed on, say another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord or what he had done for Israel. So you have one group here of people who knew God, saw his miracles, and they grew up with God's favor and his presence everywhere they went. They pass on and their kids don't know God. Don't you think that's an absolute shame? That they never experience what God has actually done, and so it never passed on. And that's a dying shame, and I'll tell you why. From verse 11, it goes on to say, then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served other gods. Here's a question for you this morning. Raise of hands if you believe that there is evident evil in this world. Okay, so we can all agree on that. But here's another question for you. Do you believe we can play more of a part of bringing God's presence, God's favor, God's hope, God's what God wants to do, his purpose to our next generation? How many of you believe we can play more of a part? I believe that too. And here at View Church, we believe that because we are super passionate about the next generation. Our pastors are super passionate about the next generation. Graham and Jenny were super passionate about the next generation. So we experience over thousands of youth that serve God and are on fire for God here in our church, because somebody had a vision for what God wants to do in the next generation. And I honor all of our leaders for that, for the ability to have that passion to raise up leaders for Christ and for the future and for our next generation. And here's the deal. You all play a part in that. It's not up to somebody saying, yes, I agree we can do better for the next generation. The church must do it. Because if that is the answer, I just want to remind you, the church is not made up of brick and carpets and stages. The church is, it's not made up of just the programs. The church is us. We are the church of God. The people of God are the body of God, and we are made up. So it's up to each one of us to make sure we're playing a part in our next generation. Now, why do I say that? Well, for the first time in the history of modern mankind, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's the first time. It's never happened before, but for the first time in mankind, we have five generations that are alive with us at the moment. If you look at the World Health Organization research, they actually find that what's happened is people are starting to live longer than the generation spans. So the generation spans getting shorter, people are living longer. So what does that mean? It means here in View Church, across all three of our locations, we have five generations that worship God together every Sunday. Can we give Jesus some praise for that? Five generations represented across our church. And so if you don't know what generation you belong to, let's just quickly do a quick snapshot of what the generations are, youngest, oldest to youngest quickly. Our first one is the Builders Generation. The Builders Generation is a generation from 1929 to 1945. If you're sitting here today and you're between the ages of 79 and 95 years old, that would include you. Now, the Builders Generation got their name because they built so much with so little. Post-World War II, they had to rebuild an economy with so little. They in all of their ways, you can see that they are the type of people that are respectful, they are civil, and they really, really are loyal. Now, this group of people that came home and rebuilt it gave birth to the next generation, which is called the boomers. Now, the previous generation had a lot of fun, okay, because then the boomers is called the boomers because it was a population boom. All of a sudden, babies were being made. Pew, 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 everywhere. Babies are being made. And so this generation, if you have a look at it, it's from 1946 to 1964, you are this generation if you're between the ages of 60 and 78. And actually, America was the only one that recorded it, but they recorded that during this generation, in America alone, 78 million babies were born. And that excludes the rest of the world. And they said that it was our biggest time for population increase around the world. Where are these people today? Most of these people post-COVID, Auntie Jane, most of these people post-COVID are going through retirement now. You are actually, you might be finishing work or shutting down. And so you are moving to Cape Town and retiring in Jesus' name. Okay, this boomers had babies, and the next babies that came along was known as the Gen X, 1965 to 1980s. Come on, if you're a Gen X, can I hear you? I'm a Gen X. I love this generation, had a lot of fun growing up, but was originally known as the baby buster generation. And I'll tell you why, because the boomers was where the population was growing, but baby busters meant that the birth pool had been introduced over this generation, which controlled the actual expansion of the population, which was known as the baby buster generation that led to shrinking population, not booming population. But what I love most about this this generation is just the music that came out of it. And if you're a Gen X, I can call you out right now on the gift of that. And you know, there's that song that goes, she said, you gotta hold on to what you've got. It doesn't make a difference if you're ready or not. We got each other, and that's a lot for love. We'll give it a shot. We're halfway there, living on a prayer. Come on. If there was anything that the Gen X generation gave the next generation, Bon Jovi, man, come on. Bon Jovi, but that was, you would know if you sang that song, you come from that generation. But the next generation is the millennials. Millennials, 1980, can I hear it? Millennials in the house. 1981 to 1996, you would be between the ages of 28 and 43. I want to let you know that the oldest person in this generation will be turning about 43 years this year. So happy birthday to you. But this makes up the largest generation in our workforce. They actually say one in three people in our workforce are millennials. So they are leading our industries. Almost half of our workforce is actually made up of the millennials. And these guys will remind you, if you ask them anything about their past, they'll remind you about the internet dial-up connection. for all of you guys and in the next generation, it took 10 minutes to start your computer. Like literally, and it would go, but also this generation will remind you about the Nokia 3310. Come on. That phone was so hardcore, they still use them as doorstoppers today, or weapons. Just keep a Nokia 3310 in your car. Nobody will ever hijack you. Just throw it at them, you'll break their skull. But this generation grew up on cell phones. It was like the big thing, which then handed to the next generation, the Gen Zs. If you hear, can I hear a... They're all in youth. Most of them sitting in youth, the older ones are here. But this generation would have only remembered the 21st century. Here's the thing. It's actually interesting. Do you know that when you ask most of this generation about 9/11, September 9/11, they only remember it as a historical event because they were not alive. And if you ask them about the year 2000, how many of you remember Y2K? Computers are going to shut down and reset. These guys remember that as a historical event. And then also the tsunami that killed so many people in Thailand, they would see that as a historical event. It's a younger generation. It's the next generation. But what's so interesting about this generation is that they are not brought up on cell phones. They've been brought up on smartphones. That is why they are so smart and have the answers to absolutely everything. TikTok has made them the better dancers than anyone. They only have these like simple moves. But and they are digital natives. Everything they do is built on digital. They're literally brought up on YouTube and Insta and social media. And so it's a big generation. And what makes this generation so powerful is that they are more connected than ever before, but more disconnected than ever before. The last generation is the generation that's coming now. It's the Generation Alpha. And that is the guys from 11 years old coming up. They're in our kids' church. And they say that generation will be raised on AI. And so this is so interesting to understand where you are in this generation. But I want to talk about the millennials and the Gen Zs. Because they actually say that the millennials and the Gen Zs make up 70% of our workforce leaders in the world. However, they experience depression, anxiety more than anybody else. You know why? Because they say YouTube allows them no longer to hear the news about a school shooting, but you can experience it live as people are recording it. It's a generation that's exposed to so much that it's actually not good for them. 3 years ago, a research study was done, and they said, if you took millennials and Gen Zs and put them together and said, what is the number one word that everyone keeps repeating? The word is overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed. Overwhelmed because this generation has got so much information coming in that we don't always know what to do with. However, I want to remind you that these generations are our leaders. And so we need to make sure that we are fighting for this generation, for Jesus' name. We need to not leave them as the judges generation, the Joshua generation, where they die out. We got to play a part in passing God down to the next generation so he can change and work in their lives. Gen Z, they actually say, a study, a Barna Group study says that 66% have either left the church or are still currently leaving the church. Up to 66% of that Gen Z generation. 3% of them are reading their Bibles. 3%. And they're twice more likely to become atheists. Now, this stat might freak you out. And you might look at these stats and go, whew, do we have hope? The odds are against us. But church, I want to remind you, God doesn't work with those odds. You see, when the odds are against you, God is for you. And when the odds are against our generation, God is for our generation. I want to remind you, stats are only things that record the current time, but they don't have to record who we will be in the future. We can change those statistics in Jesus' name when we make an effort. This is not the Joshua generation. This is a generation that is going to bring revival to our country, revival to our world, and the generations that is going to change our future and live out whatever God has purposed them to do. You could look at that stat and say only 3% are reading Bibles, or you could look at that stat and you can say 97% opportunity to see people learn the word of God. And that's what I want to call you to today is this thought. This season is our greatest opportunity. this season, sitting here today, is your greatest opportunity for the next generation, because you will grow in the area that you spend time. And all I want to do is make you aware that you play a part in the next generation. And so my question is, where are you spending your time? Are you spending it with the next generation? And if you can do better, then do better. At the church, we love to do better. We love to set up programs and curriculums for our kids so that they can get into word, they can get into worship, they can get into relationship, that they can have fun as they learn and grow with whatever God has purposed them and destined them and called them to be. If you are going to get your child connected to any of our kids' church programs, what they are going to experience is an amazing God-given curriculum that's going to speak life into them. They are going to read the Bible. They are going to experience the best dream team. Come on, for our dream team, for all of our youth, can we just thank them and honor them? They're going to experience the best dream team, and they are going to have some fun. Proverbs 22:6 puts it this way: start your child off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not return from it. Start your child. If you haven't started, the best time to start is today. I've got a little tree at home that I'm trying to grow. I started small, but I'm trying to get it into a shape. But I've had to do it while it's young, because I know when it's older, it's going to be much harder. And so you could start your kids off. You could get them in the future, send them in the direction they need to go. And how do you do that? And the Bible, guys, is very clear. It says this in Psalms 92, verses 13, says this: those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. What is the promise? This is the promise from God. Planted kids prosper. That is God's promise to you. If you can get them into the house of God, planted kids will prosper in Jesus' name. The scripture goes on to say, they will still bear fruit in their old age. They will stay fresh and green and proclaim, the Lord is upright. He's my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. They will serve him. They will love him. They will see a future that God has for their next generation. And that's what we are trusting, praying for with God. How many of you love sport here? So I've got a dilemma. My one son is a Liverpool fan, and half of you will go, amen. But then the majority of you, my other one's a Man United fan, and then we get a big amen. Andre was like, heresy. Stick to the word. They love soccer and they love sports. And I love sports because what team sports teaches them is to succeed at things, to learn to fail at things, how to manage those levels of emotions. It teaches them big match temperament. There is so much that sports does for them that I'm so grateful that they are passionate about their sports. And so they want to join a soccer club now. And the soccer club that they want to join, I said no. And because the soccer club actually wants to play games on Sundays. And they were like, but Dad, you're destroying my opportunity of becoming a pro. And I was like, you can be a pro for Jesus on Sundays. But it's something that we will not shift on. We are in the house of God on the first day of the week because we put God first in our home. And I need them to understand that God comes first in everything, because if you can put him first, he'll bless the rest. I believe that God will bring them one day to a soccer club that doesn't play on a Sunday. I believe that one day they will grow. I did remind them, though, I read a scary stat that if your child is going to become a pro sports star, they have a 0.02% to 2% chance, so at best, 2% chance of becoming a pro athlete, but they have 100% chance that one day they will stand before Jesus. They have 100% chance of being a child of God. So where do you think the best place to get them planted is? In the house of God. Get your kids planted in the house of God and make it a consistent priority. I said to my son, I can't tell you if you're going to be successful. I'm praying. I'm trusting God with you. But what I can tell you is that we're going to share heaven together. And we're going to worship and we're going to serve God. And there's so much more joy if you could just hang on to Jesus. Out of everything else the world promises you, it's just Jesus and Jesus alone. And they get that. So I encourage you, get your kids, if they're not in Planted, even if you've got kids sitting here today, get them into a youth program. Get them into, if you're young adults, get into a view group. If you are, got young children, get them into kids' church. I want to let you know what they're going to experience? The word. They're going to experience worshiping together. They're going to experience making friends. My kids, if I tell them they can't make youth, oh my hat, it's like, no, we can't make youth this run. They're like, we're going to Disneyland. No, I don't want to go to Disneyland. I want to go to youth. Why? Because they've got healthy, godly friendships there, and they're enjoying serving the Lord, and they are loving their youth and their youth pastors. So three practical steps that I can give you quickly today for us, and you can say, well, that's cool, but you told me I'm going to play a part. But if you're a grandparent, a coach, a mentor, or whatever you are, or parent, why don't we apply these practical steps? The first one is this. Pray for the next generation. Pray for them. Prayer is our first response, not our last resort. Andre always tells us, when you make prayer your last resort, when you're in trouble, now you're like, God, I need you now. Like you could have just prayed in the beginning. And God would have been with you through it. Prayer should always be our first response, not our last resort. And when we stay focused in prayer, we can learn to combat the things of the enemy that are coming against the kids. When they say anxiety and depression, we can rebuke that in Jesus' name. We can draw closer to God. He draws closer to us. And that's what we need to do, is we have to bring our kids in prayer every day. Make prayer for your kids a habit every morning. When I was young, I went off the rails. I got lost. I was nowhere near God. I was not a godly person. But I'd come home in the middle of the night, like early hours of the morning, and my mom would be there with her Bible open, and I'd be like, what are you doing? Mom, she says, I'm praying for you. And I'd be like, whatever. I'm telling you today, I am in the house of God because of the prayers of my mom. And that is what power of prayer does. It actually changes. You think it's impossible? With God, all things are possible. So this is what you can pray for your kids. You can say, let us pray that they may experience the fear of the Lord, a reverence, a real exalting reverence of who God is and the fear of Him. Let us ask God to give us the visions and to give them visions and holiness and to understand His justice. Psalms 2 verses 11 says, serve the Lord with fear and celebrate His rule. When we are serving God underneath what God has designed us for, I'm telling you now, there's a favor on that. Pray that they experience that. Next thing, we're going to pray for God's divine favor and protection for your kids. Every day, God, will you protect them? Will you look after them today, Lord God? They are your children, and I'm going to ask you to look after them. But God, please help them experience your favor today, your goodness, God. May they walk away from this day saying, man, God is so good. That is my prayer, that their hearts align with how good God is. And so we can pray for His divine protection. I was sharing earlier, and I didn't want to in the earlier service, but when Abby was younger, my wife, she grew up in Ocean View. And Ocean View was, when she was younger, it's a lot of gang-ridden and stuff going on in that area. When she was younger, she used to have to take her brothers and take taxis and stuff. And she was crossing the road in Ocean View with her baby brother and her sister. And as they came, the gangsters started to approach them. And she was like, she just started to pray. That's it. She didn't go and say, no, I don't want anything. What do you want? Like, they just started to pray, and they came with their tube or whatever. And all of a sudden, they backed off and they walked away. And she couldn't understand it, but she knew it was her prayers. The next morning, it's so funny. The next morning, the guy's like, I'm going to say it in Afrikaans because it sounds better. He says, "Tse, waar was hy groot ook? Wat is saam met jou gister?" And what that means in English is, where's the big guy that was walking with you? She had no big guy. God had sent an angel to walk and protect her. And there is power in prayer, and God cares for you. And I want to let you know, that is your story. But a lot of us are saying, maybe God won't. No, God will. Have faith, have hope, have love for the future. You could pray for God to your children to have godly relationships. Their friends have godly influences You know, the best way to influence your child is for you to have healthy community and healthy friendships, and then you encourage them to have. You see, you can give them the knowledge of who you are, but they'll only pick up what you put down. And so if you don't have healthy relationships, how are you going to get your kids to healthy relationships? It starts with us getting into a healthy community, healthy relationships, and then encouraging our kids. Why is this so important? 1 Corinthians 15:3 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. You could put it this way. Show me your friends. Come on, I'll show you your future. We get into healthy relationships. We get our kids into healthy relationships. Number two, prioritize church. What you do occasionally, they will never find as a priority in their future. I just don't feel like going to church today. Well, if you're going to let your feelings lead what you like and you don't like, you're not driven by a commitment. And if you aren't committed to it, they won't be committed to it. If you're saying, you must go to church because you love God and He's good for you, but you never practice it, they'll never practice it. You know why? What you do occasionally, they will not find a priority. If we want our next generation to find a priority in the house of God, we've got to put a priority on the house of God. I want to let you know that one of the people that led this by example, probably the best in the whole Bible, his name was Jesus. Do you know him? It says this in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, as he did regularly, as he never stopped doing, as he was disciplined to, as his custom was, he went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day on Sunday and stood up and read from the Word of God. Jesus, the Lord and our Savior, put priority on church. How much more should we put priority on church? The last one is this point, and I'm going to close with it, is your part in this next generation is your part. Participation. It's your participation in them. You see, you've got to participate in their development. And how do you do this? Well, you need to invest in them. So I'm going to give you some quick tips on how we can do that. One, you could be an example. You can be an example to our next generation. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to serve God and say, follow me as I follow God. And that's what you need to do for whoever you are influencing. Just be an example. Your relationship with God is key. The next one is be available. If they come to you and want to speak to you, put your stuff down and listen to them. You know why? This generation's got the shortest, studies have shown, the shortest attention span on the planet. They literally, and it's decreasing, their attention spans. You know why? Because Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, those engineers are working overtime to get your kids' attention. When they want your attention, you drop what you're doing and you give them the attention. Either they're going to be brought up by social media or they're going to be brought up by you in Jesus' name. I hope that you see it fitting enough to actually give your kids the time. The next one is speak life. Don't tell them about, you know, your generation, no hope for the future. How many times do we talk to them and go, you know, in my generation, the good old days when we put on Facebook, the good old days when we rode BMXs and we were tough and we had a black eye. You guys are running around the fence. Like, that doesn't lead anyone. It doesn't speak life. It doesn't help our next generation. We need to learn to speak life over our next generation. How do you do that? You tell them about the potential that they have in God. You tell them about the potential that God has for them and how He's created them. I want to tell you that this is so important, is to invest in them financially. I'm so grateful for all of the parents that actually invest and sponsor for our kids. You know why? Because it costs sometimes to do this. A holiday club in our church in June now, it costs 30,000 rand to run a holiday club. All right? To run a Rise camp, a lot of us see the videos and go, oh, it's amazing. Cost 350,000 rand. Do you know why we put that in the budget? Because we see it as important. You know what? View Church is saying that we're not going to wake up one day and say we could have. We're going to be wide awake as a church today. And we're going to say we can. We want to see God move in this next generation, and we are going to prove it, and we are going to put our money where our mouth is, and we are going to see God move. Now, you could come around that and support that. You could sponsor a child as they go on that, but we are making opportunities for your kid to experience the love and the presence of Jesus Christ. We are looking for leaders to serve in the next generation. Can you be that leader? We are looking for people to serve. Can you make food in a kitchen? Can you work as security? We are looking for people to get involved. You know, the funny thing is, a lot of us are trying to make it perfect, but you know, this generation, they're not cared about perfect. They just want a part. So if you make it all perfect, they won't see anywhere they can fit in. For us, we don't make it perfect, but we get everyone involved. I would love you to be involved. And if you want to do that, we got a next step for you at the Next Steps Lounge. And so at our Next Steps Lounge, you can head out of our doors to our Next Step Lounge. And we got the youth team there that you can talk to them more about these upcoming events that you can play a part in. We're going to close the service now. If you could just bow your head. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for each and every parent, grandfather, mentor, coach, manager, a person of influence that is sitting here, Lord. I pray that we have a heart that is a generational, transferable heart, Father God, one that seeks you at all costs, Father God, that puts you first in everything, and a heart to see our next generation do that. So Lord, I just pray for an anointing on every parent that feels like they're struggling in this season. I just pray, Father God, that you would give them the discernment, that you would give them the wisdom to lead their families in this time, Lord. I just pray for all of our kids and our youth for ministries, Father God, that you would just bless them and anoint them, Father God. And I pray, Father God, that the best days are yet to come. We want to worship you, but we don't want to do it without you. So would you work on us, in us, and through us, not by power nor by might, but by the presence and the power and leading of your Holy Spirit. We ask for this now in Jesus' name. Church, if you're sitting here this morning and you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to just give you an opportunity. I know I've been speaking about next gen, but your first step is to get yourself right with God. And so what it is, it's not a religious step. It isn't, you can't earn your way to God. You can only receive. On the cross, he died for our sins. And through that sacrifice, we receive our salvation by receiving Jesus Christ. It says that he stands at your heart and he knocks. And all those that open, he receives them. And its simple step is just to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. And if that's you this morning and that is your next step, I want to pray for you. So if that is you, on the count of three, could you raise your hand so that I can see who I'm praising? If you want to receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, thank you. Thank you for that hand. And thank you. Thank you. If there's anyone else, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for these hands, Lord. Church, thank you. Church, can we pray together? Lord God, we love you and we know you love us. I'm sorry where I've sinned, but Lord, I need you in my life. I want to turn from those ways. Lord, I want to receive you into my heart. I open the doors of my heart today, Lord, and I receive you as my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. I want to serve you for the remainder of my days. If you believe that, all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's give it up for awesome. Jesus.
Come on, let's just honor Dieter.